Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's time to wake to sleep with the number one sleep authority, Sleep Science Today, and Sleep Better Tonight.
All right. Welcome to another episode of Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky, and today we're talking about a new subject we have not had an opportunity to cover before, and that deals with what do you do if you're dealing with issues like some people have CPAPs and they don't like them, and they're looking for alternatives. Well, there's dental devices out there, but not just any dental devices. There's all sorts of specialties related to sleep and dentistry. So we're talking with Dr. Mark Levi, craniofacial dental sleep medicine practitioner from Australia. So welcome to the show.
Hey, Andrew. Nice to chat with you in Virginia in the US while I'm standing in Sydney, Australia.
It's wonderful what we can do through technology these days.
You know what? You introduced me, Andrew, incorrectly. I'm just a dumb old dentist, Andrew. I'm just a dumb old dentist that just does so much sleep over the last 25 years that I suppose my pencil's pretty sharp. But it does say on my business card, someone's put craniofacial dental sleep medicine, which is a pretty big word. But really, we're talking about dentistry, a dental degree. We're talking about sleeping, and we're talking about breathing. Everything else is just a business card, Andrew.
Fantastic. But you're hitting on the topics that we're interested in talking about here. So we are lucky to have you joining us.
Pleasure. Very pleasure.
So let's do this. Let's start from the beginning here. So you obviously have a tremendous amount of experience with dental issues as they relate to sleep. I'll kind of give that broad definition there. And that's not a common thing that we see when we think of a dentist. We think of pain in our mouth and, you know, not wanting our teeth hurt. That's what I think of when I think of a dentist, although I do have a good dentist. But tell us, how does a dentist get into the sleep area? What is your story?
Ah, my story. Hang on, I'm just sorry. Oh, okay. My story. Well, let's go back to when I was 13 years old, Andrew. And give me a minute or two, and I'll give you a very sad story of Mark Levi. And then I don't think the Dr. Mark Levi is much sad. He's probably just as sad. So I've been a struggling breather all my life. So my mother is 97. Big cheer to my mother at 97, Sylvia.
Wonderful.
She does a bit of writing. So she tidied up my biography, my bio, about 3 months ago and rang me and said, "I'm very sorry, darling, you had a very bad life." And I laughed and said, "Hey, Mum, but here's the bio." So at 13, I was bedwetting. That's called not breathing, by the way. And then at 14, I was in and out of hospital with asthma. And that's called not breathing. And then at 18, I had sore jaws and temporomandibular joint problems, and that's called not breathing. There's a theme there. I don't know if you picked it up, Andrew, but there's a theme there with my childhood. And I definitely didn't run around at sport because I got pooped. So there's another flag. So
right.
I get a university, I get a dental degree. Mum and Dad are proud of me. Their boy's a dentist. Okay. And so I get to 40 years of age and they say, "You know, Mark, you're pretty skinny. You're 40 years old, but you've got the worst sleep apnea, not breathing in almost the whole world. I mean, you are, I don't care how skinny you are and how, you know, you've got no symptoms except snoring." I'll say that again really slowly. 40 years old. skinny as hell. Only symptom is I'm snoring so loudly they could hear me four suburbs away. So, so they said, you know what? We're going to give you, we'd prefer you to go away and die somewhere else. You might want to go to the, I'll give you five names of five shops that'll sell you a gas mask to wear at night. And so that was pretty much my story. I think the next, well, I cried the whole way to work and I thought, what have I got? Because 25 years ago, we didn't really know much at all, really. I mean, the American Dental Sleep, the American Academy, AADSM, the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine is probably only 25, I think 32 years old. Because when I turned up age 40, I got on a plane, I went to the US and went, what have I got? I'm going to a conference. I need to know what this is I've got and what the story is. So I went to a conference in when I was 40 years old. I'm 68. That's a long time ago. I'm old. That's 28 years ago, I think. And so I turned up and I started going to conferences in the US, and they were dental conferences because I had a dental degree, because I thought that was the sensible thing to do. And I learned all about dental sleep medicine, which is a huge thing in the US, and globally it's a huge thing. And I've got friends all over the world these days, but America, I believe, leads the world in the lecture conference department. So I think I'm going to stop there because I've got to, so it's fast. So yeah, I started doing adults. I came back to Australia and, kept doing dentistry, but half my office was sort of doing sleep medicine patients that found me. And really in Australia back then, there were only, 25 million people. There are only 20 of us. New York City. Think New York City. No, I can't get my numbers right, but 25 million and there was only 20 of us in the country that knew really specialty what they were doing. Fast forward, which is too complicated. And these days, all I do is children. 98% of my day is children, and they fly in to see me. They drive 6 hours to see me. And I'm in America actually in 6 weeks. From Australia, lecturing in America in 6 weeks. So that's the fast forward 25 years. But there's a lot that happened in the last 25 years, Andrew, with adults and with education and with the world changing with sleep. I apologize. Right. I talk too much, Andrew.
No, this is wonderful background information, and I absolutely want to get to sleep and children, but I don't want to get there until we have an opportunity to learn a little bit more about your story, because what you shared with us so far is that you had multiple different issues related to breathing problems. You said that you were diagnosed with sleep apnea, but at the time when this was first happening, you know, you said they gave you a machine and sent you on your way. Fill us in from there. Like, what was actually happening with you? What did you end up actually doing that helped you? Or did you find something to help yourself?
Look, that was, let's call it 25 years ago. They're still doing a lot of what they do today. They give you a sleep test in the hospital or at home. You know, I've spent a lot of time with sleep testing technology, and I'm very knowledgeable about that. I got published in Europe back in the day with the American guys. At one stage, I was working with a sleep doctor, and we're doing I think we're doing 60 sleep tests a week, government funded with the sleep doctor, and so sleep testing's a thing. That's actually probably a whole podcast, really, sleep testing. You know, where did you go? What did they do? How did they do it? Was it the the C grade, the B grade, the A grade, or the hospital grade? Was it, is it reliable? Is it effective? Is it efficacious? How good are the results? So had a sleep test. They tend to hand out a piece of paper that says, here's 10 names of 10 shops to get a gas mask, to get a CPAP machine. Now, Colin Sullivan's right. An Australian. He invented the CPAP machine by accident, but he's in our backyard. He invented CPAP at Sydney University, where I went.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
wonderful.
I think ResMed, Fisher-Paykel, and there's one more brand, are the world leaders. I apologize, I've missed the third brand in my head.
Philips, probably.
Philips, thank you, Philips. And so, mm-hmm. There's a whole industry now of giving people a CPAP machine, which is what I did. And that's got about an 80% failure rate after about 2 years. That's not a scientific number, but that's what my industry tends to talk about. So if you give someone a CPAP machine, it's a pretty steep learning curve, Andrew. You don't just whack it on and go, I'm fine. Having said that, I've got a very, very dear friend in Sydney, very dear friend, who rang me and said, Mark, I'm getting a CPAP machine tomorrow. And so she took one 60-year-old woman. She took one day to get used to it. She loves it. And I was in Amsterdam.
Wow, that's unusual.
Very unusual. She's so happy. And I'm not sure if she shares a bed with her husband every night. He goes to bed at like 4 a.m. They've got different time clocks because of they've got different time clocks. So I'm not sure how the bed sharing works, because a CPAP machine, if your bed sharing, can get complicated. I was in Amsterdam 6 months ago and I helped a friend who was getting a CPAP machine, and I saw his wife actually in Australia last week. He adapted after a week and never been happier, and she's never been happier. So there's two good stories, but they're oldies. They're 65, 70 years old. And if you give a 35-year-old a CPAP machine with a young family and a wife and a bed and kids and a dog and a picket fence, we call it, it can get a bit scary and it's challenging. So I did that for a while. And then we get on to the bit where we talk about the mandibular advancement. Now, short version is, I'll talk about that for, I can talk about those for an hour if you like, but the short version is I had 15 of them next to my bed. 15. Why did I have 15? If there was a new one on the market, I tried it. And so, if you walk out the front door, Andrew, you've probably got 20 cars out there, and they're all different cars, Chevy and, I don't know, Ford. Well, these dental devices for snoring, there's 20 of them on the world market. Easy. Some of them have gone broke. Some of them are awful. The technology over 25 years has changed incredibly. I'm on a podcast in 2 weeks with my American friends discussing just that. They've got a great product. Their product is called ProSomnus. I love that product. There's a product called SomnaMed, which probably is an Australian brand that started the global. They were the early ones. And I'd like to say that I had 15 next to my bed to work out which one was good. And in the early days, they were being made in the back room by a dental laboratory guy. They were being thrown together like, try this. Now it's made with specialist technical computer technology. It's changed, totally changed. Just like your watch or your phone your phone talks to you. I mean, it's just like that. They've totally changed. But I wore one of those for about 15 years, and Dr. Mark Levi was just great. I mean, that nailed it. I was breathing. I had oxygen. I had sleep tests. I had no snoring. I never had symptoms, but my snoring went away in 2 seconds. And Mark Levi was rocking and rolling. And so that's a great story of CPAP, then dental device. The other big one, before I stop shooting my big fat mouth off, is the next subject you want to talk about is surgery, which is a big one. But there's some other boxes there as well. Mm-hmm. But those two are the biggest two.
Right. And that's actually a perfect time for us to take our first commercial break. So we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about the different options, and then we'll kind of move forward from there. So stay tuned on Sleep Science Today. We'll be back in just a minute with Dr. Mark Levi.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Be sure to visit sleepsciencetoday.com for access to all of our channels and special offers.
Sleep Science Today. And sleep better tonight.
All right. We are back on Sleep Science Today. We're talking about the different products available for people with obstructive sleep apnea. We moved from CPAP, which clearly, you know, all the science that I've read on my side says about 70 to 75% failure rate. You've found 80% failure rate, which I wouldn't doubt because of people just don't like having to wear a CPAP. So the dental mandibular advancement devices we were talking about is certainly another option that is available. So let's kind of pick up from there. You were about to talk about surgery. I know there's all sorts of different things. So give us an overview of all the different types of things that are available. And then I want to be able to kind of move that into what's happening with kids these days, because we don't hear much about kids and sleep problems.
Andrew, the kids, stuff, FYI, the kids stuff's about 5 to 10 years old. I'm lecturing in America in 6 weeks. They didn't have lectures on this 5 years ago. That we didn't have an all day conference in the US 5 years ago for kids. Didn't exist. And so it's that new that the conferences are starting to pop up. The American Dental Association's getting involved. I mean, there are some big brand name organizations. I do say US. I apologize to anybody else in the world, but that's where I keep turning up for the conference. And that's where everybody, when I turn up there, all my global friends have turned up. But the kids stuff's most, 95% of medical, dental, allied health, medical, clinical health people are unaware of what's going on in the kids' space. Totally, totally unaware. Like 90% have no idea. Like no idea. So
Right. Hold
that thought. Go back to your question. And Mark Levi, answer the damn question. So your question was, Andrew, give you the options. Okay. So someone's sitting in front of me today. I'll give you today, okay? The first option you got is, sure, give them CPAP. I mean, it's a great product if it works for you. It's actually not. Nothing's a great product. Nothing. The only good product is Mother Nature. Mother Nature, physiology, breathe. That's the best product to buy. Second, CPAP's not bad. It's a pretty good product if it works. It's got its shortcomings long term, but let's say that's great, okay? The third option is, I was going to give you one more piece of your puzzle, Andrew. You ready?
Okay, sure.
Why do 35, 40-year-old males get diagnosed with sleep apnea and need a CPAP machine and very few women, Andrew?
Because lack of knowledge on the part of the practitioners, because there's a lot of women that I find that have sleep apnea, but they don't meet the mold.
So women, Mother Nature, now I've digressed, but it's just a male-female thing, and this is a thinking globally at the moment, giving you the thinking globally. So we're not going to quote Mark Levy, but this is a global thinking. Men do not have estrogen and progesterone hormones. And women have estrogen and progesterone hormones until they're postmenopausal. And the reason Mother Nature gave women estrogen and progesterone is because apparently they're the ones that make the babies. Their Mother Nature wants them to reproduce and make the babies. And so there's a thinking that says that the estrogen and progesterone protects the airway. And so women, they label, oh, that's a 20-minute lecture on labels. So women, you can label a child snoring, mouth breathing. Mouth breathing to me, this is all not breathing. It's just not breathing. Forget the label. Forget the label. Not breathing. Mouth breathing, that's not breathing. Snoring in a child, that's not breathing. Sleep apnea or snoring, that's not breathing. Upper airway resistance syndrome. Upper airway resistance syndrome. That's called not breathing. And up the top here, it's called don't breathe at all, die. So they're all, it's a journey of not breathing. It's not a destination, it's a line. And so the women get labeled with upper airway resistance syndrome, which is just a, because when they get tested for a sleep test, they don't qualify for the sleep apnea label. So women tend to have symptoms like neck ache, back ache, anxiety, grinding, libido problems, cold hands, cold feet, wake up feeling lousy, struggle to get through the day. When I ask a lady that in front of me, they normally laugh their head off and go, how did you know? So I'm just making a point for you, Andrew, that says there's a whole discussion about 35-year-olds and 40-year-olds, and what are your symptoms, what tests have you had done, what label did they give you? But it's all the same damn thing to me. It's called not breathing. So I'll go back.
Right.
I apologize for the digression. Did you have a question, Andrew, before I move back to your question?
Well, I do have one question that I want to clarify for the audience, which I guess I should have done in the beginning, but this is as good a point as any. We're talking about breathing, and we're talking about sleep apnea as one of those main things. And we talk about, like in the U.S., for example, we have sleep doctors, typically MD doctors. We have behavioral sleep practitioners, which are more LPC or similar. And then dentists, the question is, how does a dentist get into sleep? What is the connection? Now, obviously, the connection deals with your airway, but can you just expand upon that a little bit?
Good question. We all need to work in a village. We all need to work in a community. We all need to overlap. We all need each other. We need the chiropractors, the osteopaths, the speech therapists, the sleep doctors, the ear, nose, and throat doctors, the psychiatrists, the sleep doctors, the lung doctors. If you're older, you need a cardiologist, a heart doctor. We need the whole tribe. Okay? We need an orofacial myofunctional therapist or myology. Your listeners might have heard of myology or myo something. So they're all part of our tribe, our community. A dentist gets involved because when a patient opens their mouth, what we see is, well, no, I'll give a different answer. Right now, when you look at my face, you can see about 12 bones, Andrew, 12. 12 bones. So when I look at your face, Andrew, under your beard and your moustache, I can see, and you take your headphones off and you turn a little bit left and right, I can see about 12 bones, plus your skull, okay? Mm-hmm. And so
okay,
in there, in that mouth, you've got to fit teeth, tongue, tonsils, adenoids, wobbly bit, airway, nose, deviated septum, sinus, airway. What else have I missed? So there's a lot. That's Grand Central Station, New York, Andrew. That's a freeway, man. That's new. That's JFK Airport on Christmas Day. So that is really, really, really busy. So how does a dentist get involved? They say that a dentist, they say a dentist has got the sharpest pencil, Andrew, because we know that space. We look at that space. And when you breathe, Andrew, guess where the air goes? In those two holes. So we're used to looking in one of those holes, the ear, nose, and throat guy, the otolaryngologist, we call it ear, nose, and throat in Australia. They're used to looking in the nose. We're used to looking in the mouth. And if you start taking fancy x-rays that we do all day long, every day of the week, we can see the whole thing, the whole thing.
Right.
So how does a dentist get involved? I'll give you one example. So a lady walks into my room in an hour. I see her child. Okay. I then look at the mother and say, hey, do me a favor, open your mouth. So she opens her mouth across my desk. And I start laughing in 4 seconds and say, close your mouth. Now I know why the child's got a problem. And she goes, what did you see? And I say, I see a tongue that definitely no way Jose will fit in your mouth. Like no way known to Santa Claus is your tongue going to fit in your mouth. And she goes, well, that makes sense because I always feel like it's big and I bite it. Yeah, I can see the bite marks. And she goes, now that took me 2 seconds, remember, 2 seconds. And she says, what are the ramifications? What's the spin-off? What's the take on that? I'll stop talking in a sec, Andrew. And the answer is, lady, mum, guess where, remember that real estate, Grand Central Station? Guess where your tongue's going nighttime? Have a guess where your tongue's going. Lady, it's got nowhere to go but towards that black hole at the back. Now, what's that black hole called? Mm-hmm. Airway. So you got to dumb it down. Look, we need all the doctors. Do not misread me. We need everybody to help us. Everybody. I work with a lot of these specialist guys because they're part of my tribe and people I trust. And when I've got a real problem, I pick up the phone and say, see this lady tomorrow. We've got a problem. Mayday, mayday. Warning, Will Robinson. Gee, I'm getting old. And so the point I'm making is, that's how a dentist gets involved, that I can get someone to open their mouth and look and go, it's crowded in there. How do you fit everything in there? Oh, it's okay. They took out some teeth when I was a kid to make space for everything. Oh, right. Okay. So they took some things out. And then to finish off my rant, I'd say to you, Andrew, in your lounge room, if it gets crowded, do you open the window and start throwing furniture out? Do you, in your lounge room, if it gets a bit crowded, do you start, you know, too many kids, too many grandkids, do you start throwing kids out the window? No, Andrew, you get a bigger house. You move to a bigger house, more space. Okay, so I've stopped talking because you changed, your fault, you changed the subject, Andrew, not my fault, you changed the subject. I didn't answer your original question. I'm going to stop talking.
No, these are all important things, and I appreciate you sharing all the information. And so you have a perfect timing because it is exactly time for our second commercial break here. So we're going to take that break, and when we come back, I promise I'm not going to interrupt you, and I want to talk about sleep and children. So we will be right back on Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. We will see you shortly.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Be sure to visit sleepsciencetoday.com for access to all of our channels and special offers.
Sleep Science Today. And sleep better tonight.
All right, we are back. This is Sleep Science Today, and I promise not to interrupt. We are talking about sleep and children and issues with breathing. So I'm opening the floor to you.
Hi, Andrew. Sorry. Hi. Children, sleep. Okay, let's do this. You ready? I'm going to give you the... You got to invite me back because we're changing the world at the moment. We're trying to change the world. Okay, let's start from the beginning, okay. Mark. About 8, 9, 10 years ago in America, at conferences all over America, most of the people I knew... we're all going, children, breathing, sleep. Oh, my God, it's a thing. And we're all like having an aha moment. Fast forward about 3 years, and there's a whole following, gathering, tribe, huge, of people treating children from 4 years of age. And there are scientists in America. I'm not a scientist. I'm a doer. I've got a dental degree, but I'm not a scientist. I'm a doer. There are my scientific friends in America pulling out literature that's 120 years old. And we're like, why weren't we listening, Andrew? Why weren't we listening? Okay. So here's the... A, B, C, D, E, 60-second version. You ready? Step one.
Ready.
80% of kids today in North America that are 4 years old have underdeveloped jaws. 80% of kids, North America, 4 years old, research, anthropology, skulls, anthropology. My favorite anthropologist is Robert Coroncini. Robert Coroncini is a superhero in that world of anthropology. He's devoted most of his life to oral anthropology, and we know that 80% of kids have 2 bones or 10 bones or 2 bones that haven't grown enough. Ask the obvious question, Andrew. The obvious question was, why? And the answer is that we're no longer... Hey, Andrew, we need some fun. Come on. When was the last time you ran down the street in Virginia and chased a lion or a tiger to get fed?
At least a year.
So we no longer are a hunter-gatherer. We now go to Walmart and get fed. Or, you know, we don't hunter-gatherer. And guess what? We've got electricity. So we've got factories. and we've got Nestle and Kellogg's and brand names like that. And so our diet's got softer and epigenetics has kicked in. Epi, environmental, genetics. Now, so a kid comes into my office, he's 4 years old. That's all I do all day, Andrew. 98% of my day is kids. They fly in. I'm living in Sydney, Australia. We see Bangkok. We see New Zealand. I see people 6 hours away on the other side of the island. We're seeing people fly in or drive 6 hours to see us. An average day in my office is we've seen, I don't know, think New York State and seeing five states around you.
Wow.
Because there's not many kids breathing people around, clinicians, that are doing 4 to 6 year olds in the world. So, epigenetics, what does that mean? It means when the baby's being grown in utero, baby being grown in utero, in mummy, great-great-grandma's genetic coding kicks in a little bit. And when the kid pops out of utero, born, the computer says, don't grow your bones too much. Now, that's simplified, really simplified. We make it worse by putting a dummy in the mouth, whatever you call them in America, dummy, bottle, not breastfeeding. Okay. But the point is, epigenetics, before the kid's born, it's already not grown. That's why I look at the mothers and the fathers and start laughing and go, this kid's got no hope. So if those bones aren't grown enough, let's pretend, Andrew, you've got two choices, living in a two-bedroom apartment in New York City or living on a ranch with a helicopter landing pad, a tennis court, a swimming pool, and 8 bedrooms. I'm going for the big house. And if I'm trying to breathe, I'm going for the big house. I want a big mouth to breathe.
Right.
I want a big mouth to breathe, Andrew. And if Mother Nature's given my mouth smaller bones, it's small. So all I've done is told you a story about anthropology and 4 generations, 5 generations of our bones are getting smaller. The kids are getting smaller. Why do you think we've got ear, nose, and throat doctors, allergy doctors, sleep test doctors, ADHD doctors, occupational therapists, speech therapists, orthodontists, wisdom teeth doctors, sleep apnea doctors? Where did they all come from? They're all involved. But guess what? If this was a ranch with a heliport and a swimming pool and a tennis court, I bet you wouldn't have those problems. I bet the teeth would fit. I bet everything would fit. I bet your airway would work better. I bet there'd be more real estate. I bet you've got more furniture in the house. Andrew's just had an aha moment. I'm going to stop talking.
No, I mean, it all makes a lot of sense. But of course, it leads me then to the next obvious question to me, which is, okay, I get it. I understand it. I know that that's where we're at. So what do you do about it?
Here's my lecture in the US in Phoenix in 6 weeks. You ready? Guys,
ready.
Doctors, dentists, allied health, guys, please book children into your appointment book as young as 4 years old. Shove something in their mouth and get that bone to grow. So remember, we're on Sleep Science Today, which is global, and we're trying to give a simple message out there. We're not trying to teach brain surgery. Book in the child clinical person. Sure, diagnose, learn how to do that. We're at the moment teaching on my website. We have a community of allied health. That's chiropractors, speech therapists, allied health. That's not doctor, not dentist. And we're teaching them what to look for. And my goal set is to open more of me in the world at the moment. Because, well, not me, just treat. Guys, book in the child, diagnose the child, put something in the child's mouth as young as 4 and stimulate this to grow from a 2-bedroom apartment to a 6-bedroom house with swimming pool, tennis court. We can do that, Andrew. We can do that easily. That is a no-brainer, easy peasy Japanesey. No drugs, no surgery, no needles, nothing scary, no pain, easy peasy. Shove something in the mouth. There's one more sentence coming and I'll stop talking. One more sentence. When I give this lecture in the US, here's the next sentence. We all, in my world, there's not a lot of us in the world that do 4 to 6 year olds. Not a lot of us in the world. In my world, we've all got slightly different toolboxes. Toolbox? So I'm not going to spruik that what I do in Sydney, Australia is better than my friend Brett in Indianapolis, Minnesota. Where's he live? So we've all got, or my friend Mike in New York. Well, I love Mike. So we've all got a slightly different toolbox and we all approach it with our different, because we've come from different backgrounds to get where we are. All I'm saying is we can shove anything in the mouth. We can shove a shoe in the mouth, stimulate bone growth in a kid. I've got a dental degree. Stimulate bone growth in a kid. And guess what? Where's my piece of paper? Guess what? The teeth fit. The tongue fits. The airway gets bigger. Audrey Yoon, Stanford University research. Sweden, Linda Oystrom, 5 years ago. The airway volume gets bigger. So this is all science. It's Stanford University is killing it out there. They're great. Big shout out to Stanford University. So the point is we see four-year-olds. In a sec, I'm going to tell you what we'll turn up with, Andrew, but I'm going to stop in a sec. But we see it with kids. We diagnose them. We say that's a two-bedroom house. I want six bedrooms. It's not big enough to fit everything in there. Your child's not breathing. Great. Teeth don't fit. We want to normalize bone growth. Normalize bone growth. I'm trained to do that. That's my dental degree. In a sec, I'll tell you what sort of parent turns up, but I'll stop for a sec so that you got time to breathe there. But I saw your aha moment, Andrew. I saw your aha moment with the real estate.
Yes, yes. No, I find it incredibly interesting, and I have not heard anybody talk about this before, certainly not in the way that you're explaining it, which makes a whole lot of sense. The challenge that I have is we're basically out of time, but I know you have some more you want to share. So let me have you give sort of the last word, and then from there, we'll have to schedule a time to have you back.
Real quick, Andrew, you ready? I'm going to read out 20 symptoms they turn up with. They're not because you're not breathing. It's just things we hear that we go, maybe that's a problem. ADHD, asthma, low IQ, chronic allergies, aggressive behavior, mouth breathing, tonsils, adenoids, daytime sleepiness, crowded teeth, restless sleep, sleep latency, bedwetting, nightmares, dark circles under the eyes, upper respiratory infections, night sweats, snoring, irritable headaches, delayed development, school, trouble concentrating, regulating emotions, ear, nose and throat, clenching, grinding, anxiety, depression, overweight, sensory, gut, stomach. Whoa! They're not.
Wow.
We don't make that go away, but guess what? If you make bone grow and you normalize bone growth by accident, just by chance, mum says those things tend to go away. How quickly? In a month, 2, 6 months, 12 months.
Wow. Well, let's do this because this is definitely fascinating. Maybe I can convince you to share that list with me, and I can put it in the notes to the podcast, to the radio show, so people have a chance to look at it as they listen to the episode. And then we'll have to schedule to have you come back after you get back from your trip to the US, and you can tell us all about what happened there, because you know, you're right. I mean, it's such a tiny fraction of the number of people who are, you know, knowledgeable the way you are. And it's just, it's fascinating information.
Easy.
All right. Well, let me do this. I've got to wrap us up here. This has been really incredible. If you have a child and you're listening to this show and you have any concerns about that list of 20 different things that we're going to talk about, that's a book, Grow Bone, Breathe, Sleep, Thrive. Is that available on Amazon, or where can people find that?
Shireen wrote that, and it was an Australian-US collaboration, Breathe, Sleep, Thrive. Great book for mum. There's 20, 30 books in the world market, but it's a good book to read. And the point is, I butchered it. That's my pen. Grow Bone, Breathe. Ah. That's my pen, Andrew. But it's a great book.
I see.
It's on my website. My website is dr.com. That's on my website with another 20 books. But that's a great book to read. But if you get a child's bone normalized, you're going to have, I just want kids to thrive. Thriving kids.
Right.
The reason I held that up was because of the thriving bit, Andrew. The thriving bit. Every kid deserves to thrive and not turn into Mark Levi.
Well, I really appreciate that. My listeners, if they've listened to me, they know that I also have sleep apnea and I use the CPAP, so I'm very familiar with what you're talking about. And that was one of the things my dentist said to me, is I have a very crowded mouth, which leads to the breathing problems. So much here to learn, so much that we've covered. Thank you so much, Doctor. We appreciate you, and we hope to have you back on a future show and talk more about this topic.
Pleasure.
You have been listening to Sleep Science Today, your number one sleep authority.
Sleep Science Today.